He's a con artist.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Yeah. I can't. You know what? I'm having so many issues over here. I'm losing my fucking mind. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. This is the Two Dumb Yinzers, episode 519. Yeah, good morning.
Yeah, boys.
How you doing today?
Yeah, baby.
Oh, I'm doing great. I'm ready to go. The wild, wild weekend in Pittsburgh, baby.
It's a wild, wild weekend. It's a cold Monday morning. We're back. We're back to do it all over again.
Derpy.
I mean, it's working, but it's, did you hear how low that was?
Yeah.
And then sometimes, right. sometimes it does it, sometimes it doesn't do it. And you know, the most frustrating part about this, Mike, it all started when we had that storm in the computer that I was running the board off of for the sound effects. I think it got fried. I don't know what happened, but now I rigged it three different ways and, you know, things were working and then they aren't working and then they are working and then they aren't working and then they are working. So here we are. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, guys, good morning. We got a lot to talk about. It was quite the eventful weekend. Probably one of the most eventful weekends in Pittsburgh sports that I can remember in a long time. We're glad that you could join us. Please have a seat. Make yourself comfortable. Stick around. We're going to talk about a little bit of everything today, but mainly we got new players. We got rid of players. We got all kind of things that went on. Guys, is it safe to say that Omar Khan, I mean, you know, nobody has been this active in any of Pittsburgh sports. Not, you know, I got to say, maybe, you know, in most sports in general, that Omar Khan is this year. I've never seen anything like this, Mike. And my question is, what have our GMs been doing my whole life? If these are the kind of things that you could get done, what have they been doing my whole life, and why has nothing like this ever happened to make this team better?
I have no idea. Like, everyone wanted to praise Kevin Colbert, Omar Khan's predecessor, for what a great job he did, blah, blah, blah. He had some very good drafts, don't get me wrong, but he missed a bunch too. In free agency, his biggest signing was what, Pat Bostic? I can't remember a free agent signing that Omar or that Kevin Colbert did. Like, oh wow, this is really going to elevate us up into that next level.
Kevin Colbert,
no,
though.
He had some nice drafts, but he messed up, especially later on. Ever since, I want to say that Jarvis Jones, when he drafted Jarvis Jones in the first round, that's when the decline of Kevin Colbert started. And
you got to think that it's interesting, Mike, that here the whole class of 2019 is gone.
Yeah.
Gone. Yeah. There's nobody from that 2019 class that's even on this team anymore.
Yeah,
and that's only a rookie period out. I mean, we just played three or four seasons, and that whole entire class is gone.
Yeah, and you know, ever since we've been wanting to get that inside backer ever since Sagier, you know, was a career-ending injury. You know, he whiffed on so many people to get him to get that pick. To get that position filled, and here's Omar Khan fills it in his second season. He did well his first season to make a patchwork, you know, inside backer group. They had a bunch of injuries. He made it, you know, key signings throughout the season. You would never see Kevin Colbert do anything like what Omar Khan is doing. We never even saw Donahue before Kevin Colbert do anything crazy like Omar Khan is doing. Omar Khan is, you know, he's up with the times in the NFL. Yes, drafting and development is still key to winning, but you still have to go out and sign those key free agents, especially when we have quarterbacks on cheap rookie contracts. And that's what Omar's doing. He's going out, being aggressive, spending that money, getting these contracts that are short that will expire when it comes time to pay your quarterbacks big money. This is the modern NFL, and he is embracing it fully, and I am loving it. Will these moves work out? We don't know, but you know what? Rolling the dice, taking the chances.
I guess the big question is, Mike, did you take all your Kenny Pickett jerseys up to Permane's on Sunday and trade them in for the $25?
This is where I messed up. I should have been buying Kenny Pickett jerseys.
Yeah. You would have taken a hit, but you know what? At the end of the day, you'd get some money back. You get a refund. They were taking on Sunday between 10 and 2. Returning, if you would return a Kenny Pickett jersey to the Permane Brothers down in the Strip District, you got a $25 gift certificate towards their merchandise. which I think was pretty cool. And I think
that
a ton
sense.
Of people ended up showing up down there. Derby, were you down there taking your shirt back?
I have not. I didn't buy a Kenny Pickett jersey, but that sounds like a pretty good deal, right?
Yeah, I mean, you're obviously taking a hit because the jersey is over $100. You get $25 back. It's, you know what? It's a refund. We'll take it. Mike Derpy, this is the class, the draft class that Kenny Pickett was drafted in just two seasons ago. Kenny Pickett, Desmond Ridder, Malik Willis, Matt Corral, Bailey Zappi, and Sam Howell. I'm pretty sure they've all been traded, with the exception of Malik Willis and I don't know, but this whole class of quarterbacks, Mike, is this the worst class of quarterbacks that you've seen in a long time?
It is. It's this draft class, and maybe even the Trevor Lawrence draft class might be up there too, because he's the only one panning out. But yeah, this one was a bad draft class. That draft class should serve as a warning for every single quarterback draft class coming up, because it's such a crapshoot. You don't know. You see a lot of guys get overvalued, that a lot of these guys that they were picked in the third, fourth round would be in ideal situations. They wouldn't have the pressure heaped upon them. They could have sat behind starters and learned. A lot of these guys were drafted in the first round, second round, forced to start, and it didn't work out well for any of them. This is why, you know, I hate quarterbacks that come out of nowhere at the end of the year and get elevated into first round status. There's a reason
Absolutely.
Why they weren't talked about.
I say this all the time about these guys. Like,
Drake May had a great season. Take him in the second. Jaden Daniels, take him in the second, third
Jaden
round.
Jaden Daniels, you know, had one good season. Who's the other guy, Mike? Somebody that just kind of came. I can't think.
JJ McCarthy, you know, Mr. McCarthy.
Yeah, who? Listen, if they didn't get to that championship game, which wasn't much to do with McCarthy.
Yeah,
it was a lot of running the ball and defense and everything else. Who even heard of JJ McCarthy? Yeah. Why would he wouldn't even be considered in the? They're talking about him being one of these top three picks.
But yeah, I think, like, outside of Caleb Williams, who showed, like, last year, this season he didn't have the greatest year, but that defense was bad. He's trying to do too much. The year before, I think he would have came out in that draft class. He would have been in the top three with him, Stroud, and Bryce Young. So I would still take him in the first round. Everyone else, I want to take later in the draft and use them as developmental quarterbacks. Let them sit for a year or two, like Jordan Love. Then I can use my first round pick on a player that can play right away. Then I get two hits right there instead of, you know, striking out in the round one and sending my franchise back 3 to 5 years.
Now, what I seen happen over the weekend and a little bit over, all the way back to maybe last Sunday night, guys, what do we talk about? And we've been talking about for a long time on this show. And as everybody keeps trying to peel back layers and figure out what it's going to take to fix this team and solve this team, I've given you the answer. I've given you the answer straight out. And guess what we did? We went out and we solved it twofold. And let me explain in case anybody doesn't know what I'm talking about. The key to changing this team around was going out and getting your guy. You may have heard us use that term more than one time on this show before. You got to go out and get your guy. If you don't have that guy in the NFL, you're not going to win. And what do the Steelers do? They go out and get that guy. Now, by that guy, I'm talking about Russell Wilson. But the second part of what I'm going to say is going to make a whole lot of sense. The other part of what I said, watch what the Packers do. There's a reason that they consistently have good quarterbacks, and they have been for the past 30 years, is because they always get their next guy, the guy, put him in the wings and let him learn from the guy ahead of him. So what they do, they go out and get that guy. Even
What's
if
your
he's
chips?
Not the guy of the future, even if he's not a guy that's going to do many win champ, who knows what they plan on doing with Russell Wilson. I expect it's going to be good. But you know what? Now you have the second guy. You have Justin Fields in, who's underneath Russell Wilson, who is the guy. So basically the two things that we've been saying for years, Mike, is they finally, Omar Khan finally listened to the show, apparently, and decided to listen to what we're saying, because what they did, they went out and got that guy. Yes, he's 35 years old. However, he is a Hall of Famer. He's got a lot of potential. Even at 35 years old, I think that he's got more potential than people were giving him. And we went out and got the second part of that, getting our guy of the future, in this case, Justin Fields, to play under, spend time, learn the system, and be prepared to take that spot as soon as Russell Wilson walks away from the game, whether it be retiring, whether it be he doesn't make the team next year, whatever it is, have Justin Fields in that position waiting, learning, watching, so you're ready to have that guy the same way that the Packers did when Brett Favre left the game and Aaron Rodgers stepped in. When Aaron Rodgers left the team and Jordan Love stepped in, we are now in that position, guys. Omar Khan did the smartest thing in football by making these moves that he made this offseason.
They were brilliant moves. And brilliant. Justin Fields said he modeled his game after Russell Wilson. So, you know, let him sit for this year behind him. And then, you know, hey, if Russell Wilson plays well, you can sign him to a contract extension. You can sign Justin Fields to a contract. There's no way
Justin Fields has any issue with taking the backseat.
It doesn't sound like it at all. You haven't heard him saying anything bad about it. They're not going to pick up his 50-year option. They're not going to pay Justin Fields $25 million.
No.
But I can see them enticing, like, see how well he does.
Unless
the process throughout the season, give him a contract after the year, like say like a 3-year, $25 million contract, 2 years, 25, something along those lines. Yeah, we pay more for him, but you have that guy in place who has potential.
I don't think they're taking him in as a half-assed backup, Mike.
No.
They're taking him in as this is going to be our guy. And having that guy is very important, and they think that this might be him. Yeah. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how they play the contract game with him down the road.
Yeah, it was a cheap value, man. A conditional sixth round pick. You know, if he plays 51% of the snaps, they get a fourth rounder. I don't think they're going to play him 51% of the time.
No, absolutely. Unless Russell Wilson gets hurt.
Yeah.
They got fleeced again. Again, Mike, the Chicago Bears gets fleeced again.
Like we literally turned
Claypool and a six.
Claypool and a six into JPJ and Justin Fields.
Absolutely. So, you know, you got your two quarterbacks for pretty much less than $4.
right?
You know, and you have a quarterback room that's probably 100 times better than last year's quarterback room.
Yeah.
This Omar Khan, once again, and it almost seems like the Bears were waiting around for the Steelers to do them, to bend them over, because there was about three to five different teams that they were talking to regarding Justin Fields around the league. And it's like they just kind of seemed they waited out for the Steelers. It's like they wanted the Steelers to be the ones to bend them over and take advantage of them.
And it sounds like, too, like their GM, you know, the whole time said, I want to do right by Justin Fields. This GM wasn't the GM who drafted him, but he was like, I still want to do right by him. I want to put him into a situation that he kind of wants to go into, and I think, you know, he would have a chance to. Justin Fields said, hey, you know, I really want to go to Pittsburgh. So he, more or less, Omar, you know, kind of knew that info and just waited as long as he could to get it on the cheap. So, you know, we fleeced them, by their GM wanting to do right by a player. I think it screws Chicago in the short term because you don't get the good draft capital, but I think it might help them in the future with players going, hey, they will take care of us. So I'll come in here and play for them. So he's kind of playing the long game here, their GM is.
As far as Kenny Pickett goes, Mike, what picks did we get? We give them Kenny Pickett in a 2024 fourth round pick, which is this year's fourth round pick.
Yeah.
And we get the 2024 third round pick.
Yeah, we get their third round compensatory pick, pick 98, and we get two seventh round picks next year. They have four total, and we will get the two highest that they have next year in the seventh round.
All right, so there you go, guys. We also play the Philadelphia Eagles this year. There's an outside chance, I guess, if Jalen Hurts gets injured between now and then, we could see Kenny Pickett, which would be fantastic because you know what, you're going to be playing that NFC East, and you know there's going to be some tough games over there considering they have the Cowboys and the Eagles. So, hey, wouldn't that be great? Nice chance to get back at old Kenny and let the guys tee off on him.
You know what? That would be the one game where he throws for over 300 yards and two touchdowns. That would be the one game.
Yeah. No. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. He
would throw it around so effortlessly, too. You know? Like something we never seen. It would drive you nuts because that's what happens to us here in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I know. It's wild. That's what would happen. Everyone would be like, see, we should have kept them.
Yeah. So what exactly happened, Mike? Could you give us a summary of how you understand the way that the situation played out? Now, it was something along the lines of he was told that he was going to be getting reps, and then they came along and said, okay, well, we're going to do this and we're going to trade. Give us a summary of how that played out with Kenny being surprisingly whisked away over to the eastern side of the state, Mike.
Well, it all started like when once they drafted, or excuse me, signed Russell Wilson. It seems like he canceled his practice sessions with his receivers. They were all going to go meet up somewhere and work out like every quarterback and the receivers do in the off season. Once Russell Wilson was signed, he canceled that trip. He called
Wow.
his
Do
receivers and
you think he knew at that point that, you know what, I think, you know, I think I'm getting shafted here.
it could have been that. And then, Tallman said, hey, there is going to be a competition, but I'm going to let Russ run with the ones in OTAs. And then at that point, that's when he said, trade me. And then Omar Khan was like, okay, you don't want to compete. We'll trade you somewhere to where you're going to be stuck as a number two. Like, Omar Khan found, hey, DJ or Deontay Johnson wanted to trade. Guess what? We're going to send you to one of the worst situations possible. Goodbye. And that's kind of what happened with Kenny too. Like, okay, you don't think you should have to compete here. Guess what? We're going to send you to a spot where you can't compete. And like, Omar Khan seems to be out for blood. Anyone who's not on board, you're getting shipped out, and we're going to make it hard on you. You
I'm
think it was
glad
rough
I'm on
here?
Team Khan.
We're gonna screw you. He's pulling like a Vince McMahon, like, Bret Hart screwed Bret Hart.
I'm glad I'm on Team Khan. There's no other team that I want to be on at this
Yeah.
point. Hopefully we
Like
see
Tomlin said, we want
the
volunteers, we don't want hostages, and Omar Khan's taking that very seriously.
hopefully this we see this bear fruit
Yeah.
this upcoming season. Of course, you know what, the moves he made last year, we did make an improvement by one game. And you know what, you're sitting at 10 wins. Let's say the additions we make this year gets us up to 12 wins. You know, you're sitting amongst the elite teams at that point. Like, whether you feel that this team's elite or not, 12 wins in a season has you sitting amongst that group. And just depending on how good of a season the team that's out front has, you know, who knows what can happen. I mean, Baltimore kind of really put it together in the second half of the season and won a lot of games, and it allowed them to get that number one seed in the playoffs. But you know what I mean? If by the additions he made, and we're not done by any means. We still have the draft coming up. So who knows, guys? This looks like it could be pretty good, considering again, with no quarterbacks last year, we did manage a 10-7 season. We made the playoffs. If we keep improving with some of these moves that the Steelers are making, we should be in good shape and not the laughing stock of the NFL, which we were the past couple seasons
Yeah.
anymore.
And like, but for, that 3-game losing streak, you win one or two of those games, you're in that upper echelon.
Right.
So it,
But that was the difference. We just weren't good
yeah,
enough
we,
to
you know,
win
we
those
had bad
games.
quarterback play in those 3 games, bad defensive lapses in those games. You clean that up, that's, my God, you win one of those games, you're in that upper echelon. You're approaching that upper echelon, and you think now the improvements that they made on offense, the improvements that they made on defense as well. This team should win at least two more games. This team
They
should be a
should.
12-1 team. Yeah, we still have a dish. We still need receiver help. We still need
And we're
two
going to get
key
to all
positions
that
on the
shortly.
O-line.
Yes. Well, I'm just going to say, Mike, are you good with quarterbacks? You want to move into the receivers for a little bit here?
Yeah, I'm good with the quarterback. I'm comfortable with the quarterback room. We added more touchdowns. We added a little bit more turnovers, but I think we have more chances for more
Mike, I
exciting
think they
big
have a total of
plays.
52 touchdowns between the two of them in the last two seasons.
Yeah.
How many seasons would it have taken the three
Yeah.
Stooges that we just had to get
Would have
52
taken a while.
touchdowns? You know, Mike, let's talk about some of these receivers. We ordered from Wish. We ordered, who did we order?
Van
Jefferson.
Jefferson.
We ordered
Van
Justin
Jefferson.
Jefferson, Mike, and we
Justin
got
Jefferson.
Van Jefferson
Yep.
when we ordered from Wish. This is what we got. I don't know what the fuck a Van Jefferson is, but we got one now, and we got to be happy with it. Apparently, what it seems like to me is this Van Jefferson is basically an even trade from Allen Robinson.
He,
Mike?
yeah, that's really what it is. Yeah, sorry, Derpy. Yeah, but yeah, that's more or less what it is. Another veteran leader in this room. His dad was a former player. His dad's also a wide receiver coach in the league, so he's a student of the game. And everything I've read, everywhere he's, his time in LA and in his brief time in Atlanta, he was that leader of the receiving group, making sure everyone, pays attention to details and everything. He has a little bit of potential. You saw it in 2021 when he had what, 89 or 50 catches for 800 yards, 6 touchdowns. That's been his bright spot. It's been downhill ever since. If he can recapture that magic, nice little weapon to have. I'm not expecting a whole lot out of him, maybe
Between him and
400 yards, a
Robinson,
couple
they
touchdowns.
seem like they're very similar in a sense that, They were, both semi-productive in LA. Neither one of these guys are big-time receivers. You're going to basically have him playing the same role. We'll be lucky to see him catch, I don't know, 15 catches this year. But, Mike, what would be the difference if they would have just kept Robinson around and not even worried about getting a Van Jefferson?
Salary cap. They saved like $9 million. Letting Allen Robinson go.
Allen Robinson's making that kind of money.
It was he had like 10 year or 1 year, $10 million on the back end of that contract. So yeah.
What's the wish is Justin Jefferson getting?
No, very not even close to that. I don't know what it is, but we're sitting pretty well in the salary cap situation from this lateral move.
Okay. See, I didn't realize we were paying Robinson that kind of money.
His contract I think was backloaded. Or made up to where he got a lot of his money up front, and that second year was more or less used for avoidable year.
What's really concerning a lot of people is we do got to get these wide receiver positions filled. I don't think people were concerned about the offensive line because I think the Steelers are they've made it pretty clear the people they are interested in early in the draft, unless they do pull a switcheroo, which again you can't count anything out with Omar Khan. And they make some kind of deal. They move up a little bit because now they have about 100 different draft picks through 3 different drafts. So, now they have that little bit of leverage that they could use in the draft if they wanted to try to pull something, move up, grab up one of these top receivers in the first. I don't see it happening. I think they go for JPJ, the center out of Oregon. If something happens and they miss him, they go Frazier. I think getting the center on this Pittsburgh Steelers offense is a very important part of what the Steelers do just in general. I don't think that we pass that up. Getting a tackle in the second, maybe in the third, just depending on how they do. I think you're going to get a lot of offensive line. And I think by a lot of the moves they made in free agency, I think that just opens the door for a more offensive line-driven draft. I noticed in a couple of mock drafts I saw, Mike, for whatever reason, listen to this. A couple of these mock drafts I saw, they didn't even have a center in their mock draft.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Really? If you look at a mock draft and don't even see a center, just turn the page and go to the next one because I can't imagine. We don't have a center.
Yeah, I was looking through a couple today and they had us like taking a tackle and then the next pick was JPJ.
Yeah.
That makes no sense. And then in the second round, they're not forecasting any trades. Like I can see them taking a tackle in the first round and then taking Zach Frazier in the second by a trade off.
Yeah. And as I was just telling Derpy and everybody else, I'm like, they have draft picks out the ass now between a lot of these trades, a lot of these moves. We have draft picks through 27. We have draft picks from 26. We got extra draft picks in 25. The Steelers are really sitting pretty right now. And with all these additions that we're adding to the Steelers, Omar Khan has got to be your favorite addition at this point, Mike, because, without him, none of this happens.
Yeah, this move for him to be GM should have been made years and years ago.
He was
being groomed for this, but they let Colbert write his own schedule of when he was going to retire. And I think not letting Omar Khan do the draft, the picket draft, letting Omar Khan run that draft kind of set the franchise back. Maybe he would have done something different. We wouldn't be in the situation we are now, but hey, I'm glad Omar Khan's the one here now redoing the draft and the roster. And 4 picks in the top 100, a couple extra picks next year. I can see us. I wouldn't be surprised somehow if he packages future draft picks to get a fifth pick into the top 100. I think that would be a crazy move. Leverage next year's number one to move back into the first round.
Yep.
I would be okay with that. That's shown an aggressive move. We usually pick in the 20s anyway. That's where we've been for the past 7 years. Leverage one of those picks, move up into the draft and get 2 first rounders.
Mike Williams, the receiver for the Chargers now, he's visiting 3 teams. Derpy likes this guy. And you know what? The more and more our choices are getting eaten up by other teams, I'm liking Mike Williams a little bit more. Mike Williams is going to be visiting this week. Today he's visiting the Jets, actually. Then he's going to be going down to Carolina to visit the Panthers. And then us. And then he also, I know that the Chargers want him back as well.
Yeah.
Mike, is there anybody around the league right now that you would be chomping at the bit to bring in to play at the other wide receiver? Does that player exist right now? And as I said, I mean, you know, most people hasn't forgot about Tyler Boyd. Yeah. I'm going to talk about him here in a second. But, you know, say Tyler Boyd ends up becoming unavailable for Pittsburgh. You know, guys like Mike Williams, who I wouldn't have been in love with to begin with, now, like I said, as the players are starting to dissipate a bit, Mike Williams is starting to look really nice to me.
Yeah, he is. The only problem, you know, he had that back injury and then the knee injury where he's missed time the past couple seasons. But if he's healthy and right, go get him. He's the guy I would take. He's a great player. But again, it's the injury concerns. And when you're at this point in free agency, that's what you're going to get. You're going to get guys who have red flags on them. Kind of like those late round draft picks, you're gonna have those red flags. I'll gamble on them for a 1 year deal.
Absolutely,
absolutely,
absolutely. I would jump on him in a minute for a 1 year deal. Reports were prior to the signing day last week, the official signing day, that Tyler Boyd, he wasn't gonna talk to the Steelers officially until one of these quarterbacks were inked. One of the and ended up being Russell Wilson and then Justin Fields. So I haven't heard his name coming up in many other teams' news anymore. At first, he was popping up in New England. First, he was popping up, in Kansas City. But you know what? I mean, could it be possible, the Omar and company, which, again, these guys are freaking amazing at what they do. You know, maybe they're talking to him. Maybe they're saying, hey, just keep it on the DL for a bit. We're trying to play our hand around the league, see what we can get, see what's out there, see what's available, see what, is it possible that they're just kind of keeping it on the DL between the Steelers and Tyler Boyd for the time being?
Yeah, it's possible that they're keeping the backdoor communications hush hush so nothing gets leaked, and that surprise signing, hopefully his agent's not using these backdoor negotiations to try and raise his value elsewhere. But he expressed interest in wanting to come here, and I looking at the receiver room, he can see, hey, right now I'm stepping in as being the number two receiver instead of being the number three.
Right.
And in the way the offense wants to go, he's more of a slot guy. You know, Russ doesn't do that well over the middle, but with George on the outside, and you get another good receiver too, that's going to open up the teams are going to play outside more, open up the middle of the field more to where he can take more shots and Tyler Boyd will get more opportunities. I think it would be a great fit to have him come here. And with the quarterbacks that we have, you're going to be playing with a quarterback. If Russ plays every game last year, he's sitting around 30 touchdowns last year. You're going to get your yards. You're going to get your touchdowns.
Yep. And absolutely, Mike. Deontay Johnson, another one that we were talking about, they as I said, just whisked him away, and now he's in Carolina. The news that I had read over the weekend was part. Let me see if I can't find it.
Excuse me.
Okay, a big part. I didn't want to misquote.
Yes,
a big part of the decision to trade DJ was to keep him from being a negative role model to George Pickens. I like this. I like the fact
that's fair.
That they came out and said this because these kind of things go a long way.
Yeah.
You got this young impressionable guy, he's never been a millionaire before. He's never been a professional athlete.
Yeah.
And then you got DJ's the one that's kind of shown him the ropes.
Yeah. And we saw DJ was, off the field, was up and down, would do something stupid, but would come back and he would give those really good quotes of trying to be mature and then would go out and do something stupid the next week. And then, so I think it was a good move for everyone involved. Let DJ experience another team.
That's bad.
Give George, I
realize what you had here in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, realize. And, like I said, you can see Deontay, he wanted to try and step up and be that guy. He just didn't know how to be and lashed out at the wrong times. Recognize his mistakes, but you want someone more steady with George, someone who can be even keeled throughout. And that's looking like someone like Van Jefferson will be that guy.
Mike, let me jump back to just Justin Fields for just 1 second.
Yeah.
Rumor has it that he's going after number one Now, this is may not seem important to many people, but in Pittsburgh, you know what? We take petty things seriously.
Yes, we do. Now we're all going to turn on them.
And the number one is kind of an unofficially retired number. We have retired numbers in Pittsburgh. Yeah. And we have unofficial retired numbers in Pittsburgh. And Gary Anderson is the all-time Steelers leading scorer. Mike, is anybody going to have any problem, or is it just going to be old heads that are going to be like, oh, Gary, you can't have Gary Anderson's number? To me, if a guy comes in and he's your top quarterback and he's performing and he's going to get you a Super Bowl ring, I say you have it wearing number 12. Those kind of things don't matter to me. I appreciate and understand the greatness of the number 12 in the history of this organization. But at the end of the day, you know what? This guy's going to come along and do great things. By all means, wear the number one.
Yeah, like, you know, people still wear Mel Blunt's number, and he's arguably a top five cornerback in NFL history.
And those receivers.
He's all of it.
People wear 82 and 88.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, so
I see people wear both of them.
You can't pick and choose. You know, they were all important for, you know, the team. You can't say, oh, well, you can't wear, you know, Lambert's number, but here has Swan and Stallworth. You're not winning a Super Bowl without those guys, Swan and Stallworth. You're not winning out without Jack Ham and Lambert's. The only one, like, don't issue Mean Joe Green's number and don't earn Ernie Stotner's. They're the two that are retired. And, you know, if you want to start not issuing numbers, retire them officially. But number one, I don't have a problem with. I know, like, the Steelers are like, it's not because they say it's not because of Gary Anderson. It's because no one's number one on the team or all the team. Like, it's a number. You know, Justin Fields has never come across as that me guy. It's just the number he's always worn. You know, give it to him. It's a number. My God. You know, we're letting Patrick Queen wear six, and that, like, that right there might have been a bridge too far for some of these Steeler fans. So getting number one out, that's going to be too much.
I got to say, nobody should be wearing old Bubby Brister's number ever again.
I know.
Again.
You know.
But not for the reasons that, you know, one would think.
I'm worried now. That's going to be
I do want to talk
Patrick
about
Queen.
I do want to talk about Patrick Queen for a minute, Mike. Patrick Queen comes out and says this. He says, quote, I'm at where I want to be. I'm at where I'm wanted.
Yes.
Man, is this rivalry between the Steelers and the Ravens going to get very interesting with this guy on the squad, because he's here for a few seasons now. And you know what? He is really loving this villain role.
Oh, he is too.
With the Steelers against the Ravens.
Oh, I love it. He also had like another quote. Like, he said something about the fans in Baltimore. He's like, the real fans, you know, this isn't directed at you fake fans who don't understand pro sports and real rivalries. And yeah, you know what? Yeah, I'll be the villain for you.
You're right.
The villain. I love it.
I love this Patrick.
Joey Porter energy.
Exactly. And he can go back out on the field and ball out too. And when people said, oh, you only did all this because of Roquan, he's like, I still had to make the plays myself. Roquan's not getting my tackles. I love his energy.
If you would mix Joey Porter Sr. and Ryan Shazier together, this is what you get.
Yeah.
Yep. You get Patrick Queen. And I love it. We need this guy. We haven't had this guy.
When he was coming out of the draft, this is one of the guys I would love to see. You would love to see him in the black and gold.
Absolutely,
and
Mike.
Now he is here. It's a dream come true.
When asked Patrick Queen, is there any Steeler that he used to hate?
I love this one.
And it was Jalen Warren. He said, I hated that guy. He says, I literally hated him. But you know what? Now he's looking forward to playing with him. Mike, last year's team, you felt some togetherness with that squad, I really thought.
Yeah.
And they fell short. I think this year, this team's going to come out and they're going to, you know, they're going to be cohesive.
Surprise. Yeah.
And these guys are going to be excited to play with one another. You know, for example, arch rival Patrick Queen and has a nice feel, Mike. I'm very excited about Patrick Queen.
Yeah, he's like, I hate him. He's hard to tackle. But he was like, yeah, he's my boy now. I love him. So I love that energy he's bringing. I love, the whole how the Steelers got Russell Wilson too. You had the defense going out recruiting a quarterback. You're like, hey, we want a vet here that can help us. And, you know, when the offense is rolling and the defense are rolling, you can tell the team's bonded more.
Right.
And last year, it felt like the defense felt like they had to bail out the offense more often than not. And now going into this year, I think that defense is going to be a tighter unit as a whole, because they're buying into what the offense is now doing. They're trusting the offense. Hey, we can go out there and play not like reckless, but be more aggressive. Go out there and try and make splash plays and knowing, hey, if
because
we
you
give
have
up a
very
touch,
little
we give
wiggle
up a
room
touchdown,
on
we have
that
a quarterback
defense.
who can lead
If
us
the
back.
offense wasn't able to produce anything, you have no
Yeah.
wiggle room, and you have to,
Yeah. You have to play tight.
You can't be aggressive. Mike, here's some very important. A lot of people are making a big stink out of this. Patrick Queen coming to Pittsburgh and what it's, you know, the Ravens and the fans. Well, take a look at this. These are some notable Steelers that made the jump to the Ravens. So guess what? We're getting it back, guys. Rod Woodson.
Yep.
Rod Woodson was a
Hall
Steeler, a great Steeler, Hall of Famer, hands out going to the Ravens. Cordell Stewart at the time, you know, come on, his numbers show to the time he was one of the better Steeler quarterbacks of all time. You know, obviously pre-Ben. Mike Wallace went and spent time
about that after
in
the
Baltimore.
Dolphins, yeah.
Le'Veon Bell goes to Baltimore.
Yep.
Andrew Villanueva goes to Baltimore. Mike, it's time that we get ours. And you know what?
Yes.
They can't even be upset about that because look at all these big name players, all the great talent, the jump ship. And you know what? We kept going. We kept beating their asses and we kept being the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know what? Sit down. We got Patrick Queen.
Yeah. Patrick Queen, welcome to the winning side of the rivalry, buddy.
Right.
Yeah. Welcome to the side that's, you know, won what, 7 in the last 8. You know?
Yes.
That's what I, you know, Baltimore's making some good moves. They, you know, getting a Travis Henry and people going, who's going to beat this team? Who's going to beat this team?
You know who's going to
Pittsburgh.
Beat this team.
You know,
That's
we beat
right.
him with Kenny Pickett. We beat him with
That's
Mason
right.
Rudolph. Come on now.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Armon Watts. Mike goes to New England.
Nah,
big loss there.
Depth guy. Good guy to have on your team, but not a big loss.
Also, other Steeler news. Jerome Bettis' son commits to Notre Dame, which is really cool.
Yeah, like his son, Plexico Burress' son, and someone else's son are going there from the Steelers.
I got to admit, I really wouldn't have imagined Plexico Burress' son being an academic guy. I'm gonna go out on a limb and make my own personal prediction is that it's probably because of football or sports somewhere else. But unless he married or was with a smart chick, because I just got to say that.
Plexico shooting yourself in the leg.
Yeah, the guy shot himself in the leg.
I don't care who you are. You're never going to live that. You're never going to be seen as a smart guy shooting yourself in the leg.
No, amongst
Albert
many other
Einstein shot himself in the leg. People were like, no, E equals what? Get the hell out of here.
And amongst many other things, it wasn't like that was the only thing that
breaking the ball in the middle of the play.
They would have deemed Plexico a very not smart guy, but you know
I
hope the best for his son.
I love Plex. Plex was one of my favorite Steelers.
Mike, we have some holes to fill. Of course, we still have the second wave of free agency getting ready to go through. We have the draft here in a little over a month. We need a center, a tackle, a wide receiver, some depth at other positions, defensive line, your third string quarterback, so on and so forth. With the exception of the few things we did talk about, is there anything that you could see on the horizon that could fill any of these holes in? In the meantime, is there anybody, any rumors, anything that you're hearing, Mike? Because I'm in total belief that center tackle is going to be their 1-2 this year's draft. I think after that, it becomes a depth draft. You're probably going to either get Mike Williams, you're probably going to get Tyler Boyd at that other receiver spot. And as I said, you know what, a third string quarterback at this point, does it really matter?
Kind of, because we eventually went to our third stringer this year or last year, but I would like to get someone late in the draft, like a Sam Howell, or not a Sam Howell, a Hartman, or a Jordan Travis, one of those two in the late rounds.
I would take that in a heartbeat. Yeah,
just one of the either one. You know, you're not expecting them to come in and start. See if there's something there. If there is, cool. If not, oh well, you tried. I'd look there for that third quarterback. And then they'll sign an undrafted guy as that fourth round camp arm. Receiver, the only thing I'm still hearing is Tyler Boyd and Mike Williams. Those are the two. I'm starting to see people linked to the draft in the second round, receiver wise. The receiver out of South Carolina, Leggett.
Does anybody come out of that round that could be somebody that could play immediately?
Yeah, I think like Xavier Worthy from Texas, smaller guy, speed guy. I think he could start right away. Xavier Leggett, the receiver from South Carolina. He's a bigger guy, 6'1", 220. He a solid receiver. I can see those two if you get a receiver route. Maybe even Roman Wilson from Michigan. Ladd McConkey from Georgia, the shifty little white guy. I can see him. Those guys you can draft. I think they can plug and play and start right away. I think that those would be good picks, but I'd rather get Williams or Tyler Boyd to free agency, dress receiver in the third round, get your O-line in one and two.
Yeah, I do believe that that's what they're going to do. I think they're going to get their center and their tackle in one and two,
I also have a feeling they might be comfortable with Dan Moore again.
or
They
Mike.
seem to like him.
I mean, what if they do go with the Mims that was brought up many times to begin,
Yeah.
the off season, and then in the second round they grab up Frazier,
I would like that, you know.
because
Mims.
you're probably going to, Mims is probably going to go first round,
Yeah, Mims will
even if.
go over to the right side. He'll either start or fight Dan Moore for that starting job and start halfway through the season. Frazier, you would have to trade up to get him, and he would start right away. That uses you'd maybe use one of the picks you accumulated in the next couple drafts to move up, and then you still have a third round pick to get a receiver late. I would like that draft.
That would be good. And as we said
Or
in the,
a corner in the third round as well, because we need corner depth as well still.
and plus we do have a, hopefully a healthy Corey Trice dropping
Yeah.
in the competition as well. I'd like to see a little bit more of Corey Trice.
Corey
And if you,
Trice on Darius Rush, who was an undrafted rookie free agent last year as well,
if we could
is
get
in the
some
mix.
production out of somebody like this, I mean, you got to
Yeah.
be excited about, that as well.
Yeah.
As they're trying to fill holes, Mike, let's say they go through the draft. They work on depth. They get some defensive line depth. They get a few other positions depth. Are you okay? Now, a lot of people, they have split decisions, and I know I'm one of them. What do you think about a Patrick Peterson return? I mean, he wants to come back. He was happy with his role. I think that Patrick Peterson would be happy with any role that the Steelers would give him at this
Yeah.
point. I'm going to be honest with you. At the end of the day, he's been a Pro Bowler his whole life. We've seen that he certainly dropped off at 32 years old from what he's
Excuse
his.
me.
His early career potential was. Mike, would you be okay with a return of Patrick Peterson?
Yeah, I would. Yeah, 'cause no, he's not going to be your starter. Maybe. I don't know how well he can do in the slot, but definitely as a backup safety and that mentor again to help the young guys along, because he can pass on that knowledge and he can still play. You don't want him lining up in man coverage anymore, but back in zone, as a filling in with the safeties, I would not be opposed to it at the right price. If you can get him at a vet minimum, hell yeah, go ahead and do it, because at that point it's not going to hurt you.
You just
And
gotta love. You gotta love the way that Omar Khan is running this team, my man.
yeah.
You gotta love the way that he's got 30 picks in his back pocket now. He's got two premier quarter. I mean, come on, one's at one end of his career and the other one's at the other end of his career. But at the end of the day, guess what? You have two premier quarterbacks on your team for under under
Yeah.
which you could get a value mill for. It truly is amazing what he's pulling off. It's truly amazing. And as I said, it doesn't play out any more perfect for a team like the Steelers. You could continue to keep trying to catch your lightning in a bottle, or you go out and you make it happen. Mike, I was often suggesting Justin Herbert and the Chargers, but you know what? He took a different route. He went out and he got that guy. He got that guy, Mike. We've talked about that guy since Ben Roethlisberger had left his team.
Yeah.
They went out and they got him. You know what? He may be 35, but you know what? He's won a Super Bowl. He's won a million other things. And you might say, well, you know what? He's 35 years old. That's not a good deal. We went out and got the other guy now.
Yep.
You got the Aaron Rodgers. You got the
Jordan
Jordan Love.
Love.
You
Yeah.
have that guy that can be that guy in the future playing under somebody under like Russell Wilson. He's going to learn a lot. He's going to be able to spend a lot of time in the team rooms. He's going to do a, I love the moves he made,
Yeah.
Mike. With what's going on right now, with what's out there, with where we fell in a draft, I don't think there is a better way that Omar Khan could have handled this quarterback
Yeah.
situation than what he did over the past 9 days.
Yeah, he handled it. He handled it perfectly. You know, he was able to get Russ was, you know, on the dirt cheap, and then waited, and then was able to get Fields on the cheap as well. And you know, the both low risk, high reward situations. Justin Fields finally is in a situation where the pressure's not on him to be the guy immediately.
Right.
He can actually sit, learn, take time to refine his game, because he can make all the throws. He has a damn good arm. You can see he can
Is
hit
he
the
a
pinpoint
smart
accurate
guy?
throws.
I'm gonna
Smart
be honest,
guy.
I don't know much about him. I mean, have you ever heard him talk? Is he a smart
He's
guy?
a smart guy, yeah.
Is he?
And
Okay.
he's a humble guy. He's not the, you know,
Yeah.
very grateful for where he is in life. And you saw it in Ohio State too. He was just, he's a good kid. You know, typical quarterback though, can get that cocky, get that swagger that you like to see from that position, but doesn't go overboard. It's not like a Ryan or who was the Chargers quarterback?
Ryan Leaf.
Not Ryan Leaf,
Oh,
the other one who had like 9,000 kids.
Philip Rivers.
Phillip Rivers, you get up in people's faces screaming, yelling. He's not that kind of cocky. He's
Derby, what do you think?
I
Derby,
like Justin Fields.
give me give me some pros and cons of Justin Fields. You are the Ohio State guy. You have been lobbying for Justin Fields for some time now. I want some inside scoop, because when we're rooting for our teams in college, you're sitting there watching this team, Ohio State. What is it about Justin Fields that we should be most excited about, Derpy, moving forward?
His humbleness.
Really? Is that, I see, I didn't know that about him. Is that this is a true thing then, huh?
Yes.
What else? What anything you know, just overall that you could think, you know what, this is going to be really good. This, you know, the fact that he has this ability, that'll certainly breed potential. What anything else, Derpy, that you really love about Justin Fields?
That's the number one. He every game he brings to, he's very humble about, and he approaches it the right way.
Is he a smart guy, Derpy?
Yes.
All right, I'll take your word.
I like he has that Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson big play ability where the pocket breaks
Swagger.
down. He can, you know, turn nothing into a huge gain. But he also has the downside of the Josh Allen, Lamar
Yes.
Jackson to where he'll make that throw like, why are you throwing it there? And he
Right.
can lead to the turnovers, but hopefully sitting behind Russ and being able to
Right.
learn as a pro, he can cut down on those. Kind of like how, you know, how Ben used to do it in early in his career too. Like, dude, why did you make that throw? You know you can make that throw, but you didn't need to make that throw.
Right.
Right.
Where, you know, he just needs to not be the guy for a year. And I think that's going to be the perfect, this is going to be the perfect spot for him. The expectations aren't on him. And, you know, he's coming to a franchise that has a, you know, proven track record of success. Yeah, right
Right.
now, you know, we've been stuck in mediocrity, haven't won a playoff game in 7 years, but we've been in every game, has
We are
been
still the most
competitive.
successful
Yeah.
organization in the
Yeah, you
league.
know, yeah, we win more games than we lose, and we're always in the hunt to make the playoffs. So he will, you know, he's in a place that, you know, success is,
That's
you
one of
know,
the things that kind of
more or
bother
less a
you.
given.
That's when people are like, you know, the Steelers, that organization, they haven't won a play. Bro, we have literally won more games than everybody else's team. And if we haven't, we've won more divisions. And if we haven't,
Yeah.
we, you know what I'm saying? The Steelers are the premier
Yeah.
team in the
Like,
league. But let me speak. Let me talk
this
about
is
some.
our down cycle. Our down cycle is 500. Most teams' down cycles are decades
And
of
it's not
losing.
even 500. It's still above 500. So,
Yeah.
let's talk about a team that has a franchise that's delusional. I want to talk about the Browns for a minute. Mike, they did. Tyler Huntley is off the marks, off the market, because if we're looking for a third string QB, Tyler Huntley, the Pro Bowl quarterback, if you want to even call him that, he lands on the Browns. He is one of the 50 Browns quarterbacks right now.
Yeah.
Mike Vrabel over the weekend was hired by the Browns as a consultant. He's in a consultant, so they have that going on. And also, one of the things that I heard about the Browns, Mike, is Devin Bush's dad also was a Cleveland Brown in his career.
I never knew
So
that.
it's like a match made
Me
in
either.
suck heaven with Devin Bush and the Cleveland
Hey,
Browns. You want to comment on any of those
I'm
things?
happy. I'm happy for Devin Bush to be a Cleveland Brown so we can all
Me
that to come in
too.
last place in the
Ooh,
division.
you turned like a pretty good defense. You add him. That's subtraction by addition right
I
there.
agree.
And you
I
have some
agree.
really damn good players in Devin Bush, you know,
And then you
Sesame
have,
Street. One of these doesn't belong. One of these isn't like the other.
Deshaun Watson coming out over the weekend saying, "Well, you know what? I think that the Steelers are really a contender." What the fuck does Deshaun Watson know about being a contender in the AFC North?
Right?
This cat's
Like,
been, you know, in the North for 1 year. He played none,
yeah.
basically.
Like,
He's going to talk
and
about.
your backups might actually be better than you.
It, right.
Right.
Like, I would, like, I'm serious. I'd rather start Jameis Winston over Deshaun Watson.
It may happen. I wouldn't. I
Right.
wouldn't
Like,
count it
I
out,
know what
guys.
I'm getting out of. I know what I'm getting out of Jameis Winston. You know,
Right.
he is what he is at this point. And Deshaun, you don't know what you're getting.
Mike, I gotta touch on some other things before we start getting ready to wrap it up.
Yeah.
This hour flew by. So many things to talk about today. Pittsburgh Pirates, Mike, 10 days from opening day. They sign Michael Taylor. He's a former Gold Glove winner, and he had 21 home runs last year with the Minnesota Twins. And they sign Domingo Germain is a pitcher. The big one I like here, Mike, is Michael Taylor. He's probably going to be your starting right fielder, which was going to be the only key question that I had going into the season with this team was that right field position, which was occupied by Henry Davis last year.
Yeah.
But now he's going to be playing more behind the plate and switching at first base, it looks like. Michael Taylor, Gold Glove winner, 21 home runs to add to the lineup this year.
Oh, well, that was Derp, you're right. That was a solid signing. And I was surprised. Like, when I saw it come off Twitter, like, I remember the name. I'm not deep into baseball like I used to be. But I was like, this name sounds familiar. And I looked into it. I'm like, oh, my God, we got a player. We got a baller. You know, right. It wasn't like this 21 home run season was like 5-6 years ago. It was just last year. So, you know, still got some pop, you know.
We'll take 21 home runs on.
Yeah, I'll take it. Yeah. Him, Sawinski.
Who hit more out over the weekend.
Yeah. O'Neal Cruz and the way Davis is hitting as well, so getting some pop in the lineup, I like it.
O'Neal Cruz back. You didn't have O'Neal Cruz's numbers last year because he was hurt.
Yeah,
and Henry Davis was aggressive, but he's going to be more aggressive now.
Yeah, he has that big league experience now, and like I said, man, a half a run more, and this is a top 10 offense.
And you hope that your big money guys like Big Stacks, Brian Reynolds, and Brian Hayes could do their thing.
Yeah.
And
also,
as I said, you know, in the past two seasons, Sawinski seems to be your home run hitter, and he can get you between 26 and 31. That's as good as the Pirates are going
to
get.
Yeah, and I'm willing to take his strikeouts for the power. You know, it is what it is. You know,
he's that on every team.
And he's not the only guy with power now. You could kind of protect him in the lineup. So, and Brian Hayes, real quick, I'm not expecting a lot of power for him. You know, on base percentage, good hitting for average, and great defense. If I get that out of Brian Hayes, I'm happy.
10 days left, guys. Spring training is almost over. About two-thirds of the way through. Looks like the Pirates are going to be ready to roll here in about a week and a half. The Pittsburgh Riverhounds dropped their home opener 2-0 to the Orange County, Mike. 2-0, they lose to Orange County. I don't know a huge soccer guy. I'm still learning.
I am a
Riverhounds fan, so I'm you know, hoping that they do well this year.
Yeah, I like this level of soccer. I don't know a whole lot. I don't even know a lot about the MLS anymore, but I do know the Hounds are a damn good team. They'll bounce back.
Yeah, they are looking good. So far, not so good, but you know, I don't know how much has changed since last year, but hopefully they could bring it all together. Pittsburgh Penguins in action over the weekend, guys. They play a couple of games. The Rangers was the first game. They dropped 7-4. The Penguins played Detroit yesterday and win 6-3 over Detroit. Mike, what'd you say with that win yesterday? Kind of oddly puts them in a decent spot where you wouldn't have thought that they would be sitting.
Yeah, I did not see this coming. It's like they're falling backwards into a playoff spot. I don't know how that was possible, but this team is doing it, and it's freaky. It's scary. It's close, but it's going to be a tough one to get into. We're like, what, 5 points? We're still 5 points back.
Okay, well, that ain't bad. You still got, you know, got plenty of
That's reasonable.
Yeah, we got a game in hand on Detroit who we're fighting for, but then you got Washington who has a game in hand on us, and they're only 1 point back. So a lot has to happen for us to get there. But it's better than we were somehow.
They are back in action tomorrow night when they travel to New Jersey to take on the Devils. That game's at 7 p.m. tomorrow. Also, guys, the Selection Sunday yesterday has left a lot of bitter people.
Yeah.
And it goes beyond what you would think. And let me just kind of give you a quick run through. The Pitt Panthers, they did not make it. They were ranked 40 in the NET. They had 22 wins, and yet they were the odd man out when it came down to it. Clemson, Duke, North Carolina, Virginia, and North Carolina State were the teams that get in. North Carolina State, I think they squeak in because they end up winning the ACC.
Yeah.
That goes a long way. Even though this team wins 22 games and is a 40 rank in the NET, So that, for one, is being one thing that's upsetting people. And the other part, this is a two-parter, is good morning, good afternoon, Brian, is the fact that they declined the
NIT.
NIT. Now, Pitt had an opt to be the number one seed through the NIT. They had the opportunity to have home games the whole way, all the way up until the final four, providing they made it. They declined. I know there's a lot of people that are, I don't know. And again, Mike, I don't think I have enough time in my in this day to have this conversation. We've had it many a times. I think this is crazy. You know what? This is what you do. You go out and you play. If you don't get things, things don't go your way, you still continue to play and be competitive. The fact that they decided to sit out this, they declined.
They're not going to anything. They're done. Yeah. They're like, oh, well, you know, it gives us a better chance. The transfer portal is opening now. We can get in there. This is why you have a recruiting staff. This is why you have assistant coaches. Let the assistant coaches run the practice. The head coach can work with the recruiting department, do the portal while you're getting ready for the NIT. That's just a cop-out. And, you know, if you beat Wake Forest at the end of the year, you're not putting this in the hands of the selection committee. You know, if you had – you know, a little bit more depth behind Henson, he doesn't have to put it all on himself to try and beat NC in the championship game. And then you force the committee's hand to get in. So it's like they did kind of get screwed, but they also didn't do themselves any favors. Well, I think they should have made it, but they made it hard on themselves to get in. And like the committee felt like they had it against them all year.
You beat North Carolina. I mean, you beat Duke. Beat Wake Forest. You beat North Carolina State in the last game of the season. Who ends up winning the tournament?
Yeah.
I think that this team did plenty, but the fact of the matter is they are only going to get five teams out of the ACC in. And if you're looking at these five teams, Pitt's the team that misses because North Carolina State, they won the ACC. That's the difference maker, in my opinion. If North Carolina wins, it might have been different.
Yeah.
Or you know what I'm saying? So I think that they did get screwed in a way, but on the other hand, you know what? You didn't make it. Oh, well, go play the NIT, be competitive, win something. I don't know. As I said, that's rubbing a lot of people in town wrong. It rubs me wrong. You know where I stand with this. This is what you do. Yeah. Just go play. Come on.
And win the whole damn thing and say, look, you fucked up. You should have put us in there. We could have, you know, made your tournament better. You missed out on this.
But you know what? The good news comes from this is the Duquesne Dukes, they do win the A-10 championship, going to the dance. They won 57-51 over the weekend. Their first appearance in the Big Dance since 1977. Mike, an example of how the Big Dance is skewed, because Pitt is a better basketball team than Duquesne. It just comes down to how the divisions, who you play for, what conferences, where you finish in that conference. So technically the best teams don't get in. But I do want to say congratulations to the Duquesne Dukes, who will be playing BYU when the March Madness starts Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It'll cut in half, and then it goes to next week, same thing, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Here in Pittsburgh, everybody knows that we are going to be good afternoon to Ralph on the board. We are going to be hosting some games at the PPG. John Calipari from Moon Township and his Kentucky Wildcats, they'll be home as they play in Pittsburgh to start off the tournament. So a lot of cool things if you're going to get up to PPG to watch some March Madness games, a couple big storylines and some big teams coming to town that, again, with familiar faces. So get up there and enjoy that.
Check it out.
High school, Aliquippa in the PIAA, the state playoffs, Aliquippa and Lincoln Park continue to win, Mike. They're back in action. Lincoln Park tonight, they face Hampton at 7 o'clock p.m., who they've already beat this year. And Aliquippa, they play tomorrow against Fort Cherry. That game is going, those two teams, these games are going to decide if they go on to the championship, Mike, in the state playoffs. They win, they're in, along with Moon Township, and the Blackhawk girls are also still in contention.
Ooh, a lot of local teams still kicking ass. I love
it. At least from our county. That's all.
Yeah, really, that's all that matters.
Mike, why don't you go and tell everybody about the website?
TheJudoMeanders.com. Over there, we got the merch store. We got the blog. I got Ryan and I social media links all over there. All at TheJudoMeanders.com. Check it out.
I do want to pat you on the back for a second, Mike.
Oh,
I
God.
went over there. I usually leave you alone. I don't bother you. So I go over to the website the other day to look for problems to give you hell, to give you pro, you know, to give you to bother you on the air. The website's really nice. It's put
Thank you.
together well. Everything is written well. You touch a lot of things. So I do. I wanted to wait till we were on air
Good
to
job, Mike.
give you some props, man.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it.
It's a nice website.
Thank you.
All right, guys. So today's trivia is going to be a general Pittsburgh sports. You won't know what sport, what team, what anything until I give you the question. Guys, you ready for some daily trivia, Two Dumb Yinzer style?
I'm ready.
Put your thinking caps on. Derpy, put your thinking cap on. Guys on the board, gals, here we go. The Pittsburgh Passion was founded in 2002. What was the last year that they won the championship, though? I'm looking for a year that the Pittsburgh Passion, who is our women's
Ooh.
football team here in Pittsburgh, we're big fans of the Passion. They were founded in 02, guys. But I want to know, what was the last year they won a championship? And they did. It's not a trick question. I'm looking for a year. Go ahead and think that over for a moment, guys. We're live, everybody, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, right here, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And the show that we do every day live, we upload over on Spotify at 8 o'clock p.m. So if you're unable to listen to the show that day or able to watch the show, you will always, always be able to take and put your earbuds in at the gym, in the car, taking a walk, mowing the grass, and listen to the brand new show every day on Spotify. Check it out. All right, guys, the question of the day is this: the Pittsburgh Passion, our women's football team, was founded in 2002. The question of the day is, when was the last year that the Passions won the championship? When was the last time they were champs? Mike, I'm going to start with you. It would be a year between 2002 and now.
Between you said 2002 and now, since when they're from, I'm gonna go 2020.
2020. Is that your final answer?
Final answer.
All right, I got you locked in. Derpy, over to you. The ladies, they play hardcore football in this town, baby. Steelers style. But what I want to know is when the last time they had won the big one. When was the last time that the Pittsburgh Passion had won the championship? Mike says 2020.
2021.
2021. Is this your final answer?
Yes.
You got a lot of years to choose from, so this is a tough one. All right, guys, our football, our women's football team, the Pittsburgh Passion. The last championship they won, now Mike said was 2020. Derpy said was 2021. The answer to that is 2015.
Ooh,
2015.
damn.
Our ladies got it done. Our ladies of the gridiron in 2015. So,
Oh man, we have championship droughts all over the place.
Yes, but you know what? Our Pirates are looking good. Our Steelers are starting to look good. Guys, things are coming to this town. You know what? As you said, Mike, the Penguins just might fall ass backward into the playoffs. So who knows?
Hey, you know what? It worked for the Panthers last year, falling ass backwards
You
into the
ain't
NHL
shitting.
playoffs, so
We had to give them that
I know,
position.
right?
I do want to say thank you to everybody for checking us out. As always, we appreciate each and every
Yes.
one of you.
Yes.
We wouldn't do it without you, of course. Everybody on the board, you guys always keep things interesting. Mike, anything before we get ready to take off for today?
I got nothing but, oh my God, Omar Khan, where have you been my
Where have you been
entire
all my
adult
life?
life? You know,
Therapy, I know you got something up your sleeve. You're always chomping to get on the air and get ready to
what
do
you
this.
got, Derp?
What do you got, man?
Surprisingly, I got nothing.
Oh, that is a surprise.
But
All weekend long, my phone just blows up, and then Derpy's time to talk. He's like, you know what? I don't have anything to say.
Omar Khan, baby, the con
All
artist.
right. Mine is this, guys. Jake Paul went out and got Mike Tyson's tattoo on his face.
Oh my
You know
God.
that face tattoo that Tyson got? Jake Paul now has it. So there you go. It's
I
on
hope he
like.
gets knocked out.
Me too. Me too. It's on like Donkey Kong, bitches. So that fight is still going to take place this summer. Jake Paul, Mike Tyson. There you go, guys. Speak now, forever hold your peace. Mike Derpy.
I got nothing.
Derby.
I got nothing. Thanks for tuning in, everyone.
Omar coming. That's all I got.
All right, guys, for Derby, for Mike in the Steeler Central Mobile Studio, myself, the two dumb Yinzers, everybody have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No, 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 no.